I am going to just share a little bit about the prayer and fasting focus that we're going to do this month, this morning, before I get into the sermon, just so you have an idea of what's happening. How many of you received an email from our church giving you an idea of what the protocol for prayer and fasting is and some ideas of what you might do good? As I speak, there are several churches talking about what I'm talking about right about now. And if you think about that, this has the potential of creating an entirely different spiritual atmosphere in our region. Have you ever thought about that? Have you ever thought about what God might be doing up in heaven, waiting for people to come together in unity and in faith? Because it's his intention that his kingdom would overtake the entire earth. And so as we call the churches into fasting and prayer season, we're expecting great things. And so what I would like you to do in the idea of preparing your heart, which was in the literature, I should have just handed it all out today. If I was smarter, I would have. But you guys probably have in your little bulletins these sheets of things that we're particularly crying out for as a church. Do you guys have that? Everybody have this one in your folders? Good. If you would just write on the bottom of this, whether it's right now or during the service, because we don't want you walking out the doors without doing it, write down what you're planning on believing God for in your personal life as well. And then pray this every day during the fast. I'm actually doing it for the month of January. We got an early start because I just feel like the weight of this whole thing. Thank you for those who are praying for the pastors. We've begged, borrowed, stolen, and written a 21-day manual that we're hoping to get printed on Wednesday. And at that point, as soon as I get it, I'll start getting in your hands. You'll for sure be able to get it Sunday morning. And Sunday morning is when the fast will start. Sunday night, this coming Sunday night, we'll meet over at Columbia Four Square Church to kick off the prayer and fasting. We've taken the revelation that God's given us, and we've turned it into prayer. And so what we'll be doing is we'll be worshiping as churches together next Sunday night at 6 o'clock, and we'll be praying the revelation that God's given us. And I expect it's going to be a very powerful thing that will change atmospheres and change hearts, change a lot of things that need to be changed for His Holy Spirit to move. Last week when we were together, we discussed some of the revelation that God had given me personally in the last few weeks. And for those of you who are here and heard that, you realize that the Holy Spirit is doing a new thing, and there's something powerful in the realm of a breakthrough or a variety of breakthroughs that are coming in this next year or two. There's also, in this season that we're in, there's a real availability of revelation for us. And the truth is that as we seek Him, we're going to find Him, and we're going to get all that we're intended to get. So I just think we're living in an extraordinary time and season, and I feel like if we as a church with the other churches will join in faith, we're going to just see amazing realities that we've been praying for years come to pass. Lost getting saved, prodigals coming home, all kinds of positive breakthroughs and signs that the Father in heaven is doing something again. And that is some of the scripture I have for us this morning. Do you have a Bible or some electronic device that you've stored the Bible in? Psalm 139 is where I'm going to start, but we're going to bounce around a little bit. And we're still in the series on gaining or getting the mind of Christ, but we're shifting into the realm of the miraculous in faith. And so this morning will be the first installation of what I hope to be not just information for you, but something that's anointed that will cause you to break through in the realm of faith. And did you know that you can move from faith to faith just like you can move from glory to glory? You can do that individually. You can do that as a church. Our hope is that not only will individuals be touched in this next season to move into a different realm of faith and see a different realm of His glory in our midst, but that we'll see a momentum come where it will become an expectation. If I asked you a question this morning, did you expect when you came in to have a miracle, occur, what would you say? Did you expect to see angels running around the sanctuary? How many of you have seen them this morning? I don't want you to be shy. Raise your hand. We've got a couple. We have a couple of witnesses to that. How many of you feel the presence of God? Did you know that that's just unusual in the earth today? Did you know that much of the population, if we ask those questions, they go, well, I've never seen an angel. Well, I don't know. What does the presence of God feel like? Did you know that you're walking in something supernatural all the time? And my preference is that we're naturally supernatural. What I mean by that is we don't have to cultivate it, fake it, manipulate it. We just walk in what he's got going on at the moment, and we're satisfied and we're content with it. But we're also, there's a divine dissatisfaction in our contentment where we can ask for more and we can actually press in for more because that pleases him. Do you understand the difference between being content but knowing there's more and going after it versus being discontent? There's a huge difference, isn't there? And so, in Psalm 139, I think I have that scripture written out if it's the next slide. It says, your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed. And in your book, they all were written, the days fashioned for me, when as yet there were none of them. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I could count them, they would be more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with you. Point number one. All of the days of our lives are accounted for by God. God has a book that he's writing on each one of us. What does your book look like? Is it a Mad magazine? I hope not. Is it a novel? Kind of novel? Is it an epic? Is it a Reader's Digest version? Just a little bit of something kind of cool. There is a book being written. How long will your book be? Did you know you have a choice in the matter? Did you know you have a God who has an infinite imagination and a sense of humor? And that he uses just about anything and anyone who has faith to believe? I'm from the Oregon coast, born and raised there. It's about as rednecky as you can imagine. Raised in an alcoholic home, pretty dysfunctional, no, real dysfunctional. Had no idea growing up anything about the Holy Spirit. I had a little Baptist church a couple blocks from where we lived most of the time that I was forced to go to, didn't want to go. My mom used to make me, bless her heart. I'd rather stay home and watch football, you know. And, you know, the truth is I didn't want anything to do with God, didn't understand him, wanted to live my life on my own, do my own thing. I planned on using drugs until I was in my 80s or whenever I died. That was my plan. That was the book I was going to write. And God had a different idea. And, yeah, I wrote a book. I have English teachers rolling in their graves over that one. Seriously. It's like, if I went back to high school and said hi to my English teacher in high school and said, hey, I wrote a book, she'd be like, yeah, right. I got a D in English in 10th grade. I remember it. Yeah. And yet, he's used me. I won't go into my history, but I have an interesting book being written. And it's not done. And he told me that this recently. I'm not done. I'm thinking, well, I'm kind of glad being on this side of the sod's kind of good, but I heard it's better when it's with you later, you know, into the over the rainbow. That's what some people say. Over the rainbow bridge. All of our days are accounted for by God. How much of your divine destiny will you fulfill by faith, activated and chasing the reality that he's planned out for you? We need to think that through a little bit, don't we? How much of your life is run by you, and how much of your life is run by the Lord? In other words, how much is Jesus Lord over? Good question, isn't it? As a book, your life can be filled full of divine miracles and suddenlies of God. I don't know about you, but I want to fill up the pages that he's ordained for me, and I'm hoping that I do such a good job that I get to pick up stuff that people left behind and didn't want to do themselves. Did you know you can pray that way? I was shown in a vision that there are mantles that were intended for relatives of mine back in history that are available for me to affect countries, nations. I'm like, really? Okay, I'm dumb enough to say yeah. I don't know what all that means. I'm sure it's going to cost me. It does cost, doesn't it? What does it cost? Everything. We get to pick up our cross and follow him, don't we? That's our calling. Pick up your cross and follow Jesus. To get where he has planned, we need to get his mindset, and we get to have a mindset of faith. There's an interaction between the Spirit of God and our minds. There's a renewing of our minds that's occurring, hopefully, day by day, moment by moment. But there's also something in our hearts that not only cultivates faith, but believes what we've seen in the past, believes what we read in the Word, and believes what we hear from the spoken Word and the revelation that we receive. And there's something, the faith comes from the heart. The ability to step out is like a heart of a little child that says, God said it, I believe it, I'm going to go do it. I believe there's a challenge on each one of us as this new year turns, and with all the revelation we received, it's time to start birthing the things that the Holy Spirit wants to birth in you, through you, and in the church. And there is a travail coming. And sometimes the travail is holy laughter. Sometimes it's deep groanings. It doesn't matter to me what it looks like. We just need to call it forth. It's time for us to step out in faith and say, Lord, you have a kingdom that you want to manifest in our midst that's way past what we've been doing. And you're asking us to carry that burden with you. And so let us have it. I asked everyone to come to church at 9 o'clock this morning. Thank you. Last week I said that. Thank you for doing that. We're going to do that every Sunday this month. Come at 9. We're just all waiting on the Lord together in here. We're crying out for the lost. We're praying the stuff on the sheet that you've got. We're praying personal issues and things. And we're crying out for the 7 cities in this region, that God would not allow a single soul to leave from the 7-city region here and go to hell when they're done, when their lives are over. We're crying out for that kind of revival. And I think we can honestly believe for that, knowing that God's good and he's able. We can't make that happen, can we? But we can certainly pray into it and say, Lord, you're big enough. And in fact, every time I go to the top of the mountain, I just look out over the Tri-City region or the 7-city region from Benton City to Findlay and Burbank. I say this every time I'm up there, Jesus, you bought and paid for every bit of this on the cross. Why don't you just take it? And I'll tell you, I've had walks after walk after walk, I've been up there probably over 100 times, where it's just spiritual warfare all the way up there. My mind is bombarded with garbage, and then I get up there and I deliver that prayer. In fact, this week, I had this unusual experience. I was dreaming again, but it was a spiritual warfare dream. And there, I was killing spiders, which are bad things in dreams. They're demonic things. And I was killing other evil things in the dreams. But all of a sudden, this lime green spider that looked like it was dead, it wasn't. And it rose up, and it was very large. And it started to attack. And I pulled myself out of the dream, and I looked in our bedroom, And that thing was in the air over Pam's and my bed, and it was writing. You know how spiders can do webs? It was writing in lime green colors curses against us in our church. So do you know what I did? I screamed like a girl and ran into the bathroom. No, I didn't. No, I didn't do that. I didn't want to wake Pam up. No, you know what I did? I just closed my eyes and said, basically, Jesus, would you handle this? Opened my eyes a minute or so later. The room was a beautiful hue of red, the entire room, covered in his blood. No demonic stuff and curses in the air, no spider. It was all washed. You will sense in the next month a deep desire for God's presence, His holiness, and His word. I guarantee you. You are going to want to put on not grave clothes, new clothes. And the new clothes will be red and white striped. I don't want you to necessarily go out and buy that, but I'm telling you, I saw it. I saw it in an encounter. You'll need to put on these new clothes. It's like a manifestation of the blood and holiness of God on you at a whole other level. And you get that through repentance. And it's going to be needful because you're going to get stuff on you. You know, this is like Holy Spirit coveralls. And you're going to get stuff on you, but it will protect you. The blood will protect you. His righteousness will protect you. And you'll walk in that in a more powerful way than you have before. God is able and willing to do miracles through any person who has a heart to believe in His unlimited power and His unlimited goodness. Someone once said that coincidences are miracles that God didn't want to take credit for. And those coincidences happen all the time. There was a story recently, it came out of Portland, where this Christian guy got this nudge to go ride his bike. Well, it had snowed. It snowed some, and it was starting to clear up some. So it's 1 o'clock in the morning, and so this guy's like, I'm supposed to go ride my bike at 1 o'clock in the morning in the snow. This makes lots of sense, doesn't it? But he obeyed, so he got on his bike, and he crashed into this big snowbank because he got going too fast and slid on the ice, and his glasses went flying off. So he's on his hands, I guess he's pretty blind, so he's out on his hands and knees in the snow at 1 something in the morning looking for his glasses, and some guy shows up. He's at the house where this guy crashed, and he was looking out his window at the time. He walks out there, and he helps him find his glasses, so he invites him into this house to warm up and to have some hot chocolate. And the guy that lived in the house was actually getting ready to kill himself when he saw the guy wreck, and was so I'm looking for his glasses. So this Christian, who was told to go ride his bike in the snow at 1 o'clock in the morning, saved this guy's life. That is a coincidence that happens all the time, doesn't it? I ran into a friend at Walmart yesterday. I kept feeling led to go to Walmart. That is not my favorite store. It's not. Not because they don't have great stuff at great prices. They do. But it's so crowded all the time, and it's crazy, you know. And it takes forever to get out of there, and I'm one of those, I want it now and all that. Anyway, I'm in there, and I'm getting a couple things that we need, and then I see this dude go by, and I'm like, that's why I'm here. So I ran behind him and stuck him up in the back, you know, when he's at the little self-serve, freaked him out, and we had a good conversation, you know. Coincidence? No. Because I'd put off going there over an hour and a half. I thought I was in charge and in control of my life.
God started early.
Preach it, Thelma. So are you living with an expectation of miracles happening around you? Are you seeing and perceiving what the Holy Spirit's doing? Oh my goodness. One definition of a miracle is a supernatural manifestation of divine power in the external world, a special revelation of the presence and power of God. I'll say that again. One definition of a miracle is a supernatural manifestation of divine power in the external world. It's a special revelation of the presence of the power of God. I've seen them. God's used my hands to do stuff. We had a Baptist dude in his 60s who two bad knees come in here a couple of years ago, asked me to pray for him. I did. He got healed, came back the next week and told me about it and wanted to know what he should do. And I said, well, enjoy your healing and tell your pastor. Give God glory. Give God glory. Point number two, we need to cultivate attitudes and expectations and faith. We need to cultivate attitudes and expectations of faith. We need an optimistic hope based on Scripture, an attitude that says nothing is impossible with God. Nothing is impossible with God. We need to make pessimism and unbelief unwelcome in our minds and unwelcome in our hearts and unwelcome in the church. This is the place God rules and reigns. This is kingdom place here. This is in our hearts and wherever we go in the world, but also in this house. This is His. We're His. And here is a place of faith. This is a place of miracles. This is where angelic activity is occurring. This is where the kingdom is being sown and expanded. And it's also being sown and expanded wherever you walk. If you have eyes to see, ears to hear, and a heart to believe. We need to make this idea of unbelief completely go away. Whenever we have a thought that is in the realm of a category of unbelief, we need to take it captive in Jesus' name. We need to toss it, flush it in the spiritual toilet somewhere and let it go where it belongs. And then we need to get a different thought, a truthful thought that has hope in it, and we need to walk in that. And that's the battle for the minds that's going to happen in a greater intensity during this next month. How many of you know the devil knows better than we do what can happen when a region of churches starts praying? Oh my goodness. They're so freaked out. That's why the enemy tipped his hand and the Lord let me see it. That's why he came in our room again and he's writing curses in the air over us. He's desperate. Just desperate. And he's so whipped. It's been a long time since the devil was in the presence of God, receiving the glory of God and the light of God. All that is diminishing in him over time. He's not becoming stronger, he's becoming weaker. And it only looks like he's stronger because he's in control of the media and they're telling us all the time that his agenda is going to get done and to discourage Christians and have us look at what isn't happening and what's happening that's bad. And the reality is that his kingdom is coming. His will is being done on earth as it is in heaven. Too many of us are living life at a low level of faith and a low level of expectation. We need to stop, don't we? Some of you may be thinking, miracles for me? Why me? After so many life disappointments, how am I supposed to be able to be expected to believe for great things from God again? After all he's put me through, after all the stuff I've gone through, how could I possibly come to a place again where I would believe anything that he has to say about this particular area? I'm content to live my life reading my Bible and praying, going to church, tithing, knowing he's going to take care of my needs, but I don't have the faith any longer to reach for something like what you're talking about. I'm just describing the American church to you when I say all that stuff. This is an epidemic in the local church. The question that people have is, why would God want to use me? There's a whole other angle. I've been so rotten. I've been so evil. I've been so disgusting. How could God possibly want to use me? Read your Bible. You can't let the devil or your own flesh and mind define you from your past because you're a new creature, a new creation in him. Old things are gone and they've passed away. New things have come. You're a new creature in Christ. You have a new chapter being written in your book. And it's much happier than the last couple chapters probably if you're the person I'm talking about. The one still stuck in the past. The enemy of our souls lives to rob us of our faith, our hope, and our belief in a good God. And one of his favorite tricks is to try to convince us that God no longer intervenes in the affairs of man. The truth is, as Hebrews says in 13 verse 8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God doesn't lie. The devil lies. Can you accept this scripture as truth? If you can, and Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever, that means that what was going on that you read about in the Old Testament and the New Testament still is going on today, and it's not going on in a way that prohibits you from participating. In fact, Jesus likes everybody to play. And so the truth is if you will grab a hold of what's just hovering above your heads, just beyond your reach, and begin to believe for it, you'll eventually grab it and you'll walk in it and the miracle will come. The suddenly will break through. That pleases the Lord when we walk like that. The same Jesus that worked miracles 2,000 years ago is the same Jesus today. He didn't go off the shift after the cross and the crucifixion and the resurrection and have a different dude take his place. It's the same one. So I have... Want to go to the next slide? Here, I want us to say this out loud together. Let's repeat these words that are up here on the screen. You ready? The Holy Spirit is upon me to reveal the miracles that have been hidden, delayed, or resisted. We're going to say it again. The Holy Spirit is upon me to reveal the miracles that have been hidden, delayed, or resisted. Do you believe that? Read Isaiah 61. That's our ministry. It was his ministry. It's now our ministry. Pam and I did that for a year and a half every day before, when we first planted this church. We read that passage of scripture. Just trying to get it into our spirits, get it into our little hearts and our little faith minds, and get these things expanded in us. Point number three is this. The Bible describes some issues around miracles, and we just said some of them. There's hidden miracles, delayed miracles, and resisted miracles. I want to talk about each one so that we can get up on top of them. I want us to stand on top of these lies and kind of crush them underneath our feet today. Did you know that God of peace will soon crush Satan underneath your feet? Do you know how he does it? You get the truth, and you throw the lie down, and you stick it underneath your feet, and you just crush it. So, first one, hidden miracles. These are miracles that are just below the surface, just outside our natural eyesight, just beyond our reach. They are what some spiritual fathers would call the hidden things. The hidden things. These are things that God desires to release into your life. They're blessings. Favor in your finances, favor at work. They are favor with relationship, favor to be an evangelist. Some of you need to ask God for that as we're sitting in here. Favor to be an evangelist. These hidden things, these things that are just outside of your reach are actually available for you if you will not give up on them because you can't see them yet. I've had prophetic words, you've had prophetic words spoken over you that have not yet come to pass. And that's because the word of the Lord is testing you like it did Joseph. When Joseph got his word that he was going to rule over his brothers and be great in God's kingdom, he got tested, didn't he? For a number of years, he was tested. It was very painful. If you've got words hovering over you, they're testing you, and the tests are being allowed by God to give you the character that you need to be able to function in what he wants to give you. That's how the kingdom works. That's protocol. In Genesis 21, here's one of many scriptures that I'm not going to go into today, but there's just one of many that describe this hidden thing, this hidden miracle that is within our reach if we will believe for it. It's in Genesis 21, and it's the story of Hagar, who was sent out by Abraham with her son out into the desert because Sarah was jealous, and the whole thing, they tried to fix things that God had prophesied and make them happen themselves, and it was disastrous, and we're still to this day experiencing the fruit of that foolishness. But her son was out there dying of thirst, and she felt helpless, and it says suddenly an angel spoke to her, and God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water. That well had always been there. The provision was right in front of her. It had always been there, and she just couldn't see it. We can get a mindset that says, you know, it's always going to be hard. We're never really going to get what we need. Satan's always going to be able to rob us. And here we are, right in the midst of the Creator who loves us with an everlasting love, who's promised us that we're going to do the things He did, that He would never leave us or forsake us, that He would provide all we need according to His riches and glory. And we're blind. We can't see it. The hidden things are just delayed. They're available. So start asking for your suddenly. That's what one of the things John Paul taught me about suddenlies. Whatever circumstances you are facing right now, don't sit down and give up in the desert. God has wells of provision for you. Sometimes we need to ask our eyes to be open to see. Sometimes we need some sort of supernatural suddenly. Sometimes we just need to step out in the faith and trust what the Word says, the Word that we already know. I've talked to so many people over the years who are saying, I'm spiritually struggling. This is just so hard for me. And I just don't seem to be getting anywhere. And you start asking them, are you doing the basics? What's the basics? Are you reading your Bible and praying every day? No. Do you go to church? No. Are you part of a small group of some kind through the church at least? No. What words are you standing on and believing? None. Well, actually you are. You're hearing all these lies and you're living them out and you're walking them out and you need to get back on track. It's like they come for counseling and I told them to read your Bible, pray, go to church, get in a small group and tithe. Thank you for your $45. You had to go to school for that? Yeah. Second kind of issues around the miraculous. These are called delayed miracles. Delay means to put off, to slow, or to stop, or detain, or to hinder in some way. Our timing is certainly different from God's timing, isn't it? I can tell you right now, if I was God, there's a whole bunch of you in here who wouldn't experience the stuff that you've experienced, and I certainly wouldn't have either. I'm so glad I'm not God and I'm not in control, because His ways are perfect, and He's good all the time. We wait for minutes, hours, and days, and we get discouraged because we don't see anything. Back when I was in my 20s, I'm 53 now, I had a vision in the night. I was at a community church that probably didn't necessarily believe in those things. And I saw a bit of my future. And it was so amazing that I just flushed it as just me being full of myself and being vain. That was my response to God showing me what He wanted to do with me. How many of you have done the same thing? You ever had an... Okay, here's one. This is terrible. I'm still mad at myself about this one. Several years ago, there was a little video store in West Richland. And as I was driving past it, two or three times, I got a nudge to go in from the Holy Spirit to go in and tell the owner, if he will get rid of all the porn in the back, God will bless his business and it'll thrive. And I'm like, was that God? Nah, it couldn't have been. I don't even know the owner. That wasn't it. So I drive on. Two or three times that happened. Sometime after that, maybe 6 months after the last time that happened, I had late movies. It was my fault. And I walked in there to pay my fine or the whatever they make, you know, the extra charge. And the guy looked at me and I said, sorry, I'm late with these. It's my fault. And I just completely forgot what was going on. And, you know, I'm happy to pay the thing. I hope I didn't inconvenience people who are waiting for these movies or anything. And he looks at me and goes, I've been in this business for years, and I've never heard anybody come in and own what they did. They always blame their wives or their husbands or their kids or whatever. He goes, I'm not even going to charge you the extra, but you need to know something. I'm only going to be open a couple more weeks. So I got to shut down. So I just thanked him for letting me off the hook, and I drive away, and then I remembered, oh, no. There's all kinds of stuff out there that God wants to do, and they get delayed, and sometimes we can be the reason for the delay. Our timing is certainly different from God's timing. God is not affected by our sense of time. He fulfills his promises in the fullness of time, and his timing isn't ours. How many of you are waiting for something and have been waiting for something, and you're a little frustrated because it's not happened, and you push it down, and you make it to church, and you go to prayer, and you read your Bible, and you and God are still semi-okay, but there's something that's just irritating you. Okay. Remember the story of Lazarus? Here's a biblical illustration of these delayed miracles. John 11:5-7 says, Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed 2 more days where he was. I'm reading that this week. I'm thinking, okay, that's really screwed up. Do you think Lazarus, Martha, and Mary would think, Jesus really loves us? He heard that Lazarus was dying. And he stayed where he was for a couple more days. Bless his heart. Because Jesus is God and he knows what he's doing. Is that not totally screwed up? It is to us, isn't it? Now, Jesus' decision doesn't make sense to most humans. In fact, there wasn't even anything mentioned that was worth waiting for. How many of you, if you had a friend dying, would just drop what you're doing and go? Yep. I hope so, because you're my friends. Like if I'm hopefully you come pray for me. Let me pray about that. Now, we've been praying him out for a long time. Take him, God. Yeah, this is awesome. This story wasn't about Martha, it wasn't about Mary, and it wasn't about Lazarus, was it? It was about Jesus and his kingdom. Lazarus was dying, and Jesus waited until he died. Do you think Lazarus regretted the delay after experiencing the miracle? I don't think so. I think he totally got it. He probably felt so glad to be used by God like this. Of course he didn't. You think he comes to you, you think he goes over to Jesus and goes, what were you thinking? I don't think so. Third kind of issues around the miraculous is resisted miracles. Some miracles are not just late or hidden, but they are resisted by the evil one. You ever been resisted by the evil one? You ever had something taken by him that you know he shouldn't have got? Yeah. The devil wants to keep all of us from receiving the blessings of God. God wants to send us blessings, doesn't he? There's a story in the scripture that constantly blows my mind when I read it. It's about Daniel crying out and having the prince of Persia inhibit the angel from coming to bring him the answer. And the good news was that God heard the prayer the moment it was given, but the answer was delayed because the enemy resisted it. And this is where perseverance comes in. If you have a clear word from the Lord about a situation or a circumstance, you just need to stand in faith and persevere. Sometimes that's different than not having something occur that you want to have occur. If God's speaking into it, it's going to happen. If it's something you want, but he knows better about, and you're trying to make it happen by persevering, you're just going to end up frustrated, aren't you? God gave me a date. He gave me a month and a day of when there was going to be a visitation here, but he didn't give me the year. Bless his heart. So I'm standing in faith for that because he told me. But I'm not coming to church every Sunday going, we're ready for the suddenly now. I don't get to decide that. He decides that. If we put on the full armor of God and learn to stand, if we resist the devil, he will flee. So it's time to dig in, resist, and stand our ground. It's time to fight. How many of you got the video from one of our apostolic team Pauline sent out this week? How many of you were able to see that? About three of you, but the whole church needs to see it and watch it. It's profound. In fact, Pam and I had discussions about having that be the sermon this week up on the screen. I just didn't feel good about that. But my buddy in Alabama, Michael French, he's a point man on the apostolic team that oversees all of our churches. He's got a lot of revelation that's for us and for this time, and it's amazing. But the title of it is, there's a time for peace and a time for war, and it's time for war. And it's done but only in a manner that only a good old Southern boy can deliver it. So I like that a lot. Number three, taking hold of miracles intended for us. Taking hold of miracles intended for us. The miracles hovering over us are available if we do our part. What's our part? Contend for them. Write that down. Some things we need to contend for. In Luke, somewhere around chapter 11 or 12, we are told if we ask for the Holy Spirit, we're going to receive it. We're not going to be given a scorpion or a stone. We're going to receive what we need from him. And so you have to contend. So it says to seek, knock, and you'll find. There's a contention or contending for something. A key scripture to personalize and memorize in this season is 1 Corinthians 2:9, and it says this, "Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him." I was thinking about this morning, what if I showed up and only three people came at 9 o'clock? Thankfully that didn't happen. It was a bunch of you and I appreciate it. And I was like, Lord, how do you convey the weight of the season that we're in and what you want to do, and how do we get up, woke up from our slumbers so that we go, okay, we are part of the greater body of Christ. Several churches are doing this. We're contending and waiting on the Lord because there's something greater that you want to do, and we're going to stand and believe for it. And immediately I was brought back to the second chapter of Acts. There were hundreds of people called to wait in the upper room, and 120 were left by the time it happened. And so I guess we're not doing so badly. We had a better percentage than that, you know, here this morning. But the truth is things are not going to stay like they have. All of the economic stuff, the geothermal, weather-related stuff, the wars and rumors of war stuff, that stuff's like birth pangs, and it's going to continue to get closer and closer together. And the church can't be sleeping. We can't be the five nerdy virgins who don't have enough oil. We can't. I was thinking also of Jesus when he said to his disciples as he was getting ready to be taken captive and eventually hung on the cross a day or two later. He said to his disciples, "Can't you pray for just 1 hour?" I don't know, can we? This is like time to come and wait as a church, crying out for revival for our region, for our area. It's time to take hold of the miracle that God wants for us, for that revival to come. The components of this verse, I'll say the verse one more time. Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. So we're going to talk about the eye, the ear, and the heart, trying to get ready for what God wants to do. The first component of this verse is the eyes of the Spirit. To capture the miracles beyond us in the natural, we must develop eyes in the Spirit. I have been gifted, called, whatever you want to call it, to be able to go up to people and say things like, "Where are the angels this morning?" And people who have faith will be able to see them. I just do that once in a while. I don't do it all the time. I just do it once in a while when I feel the nudge or the prompting. And at some point when I say that, could be an hour later, they will see them. They will see them, but they have to contend. They have to believe. They have to activate their faith. To capture miracles beyond us in the natural, we must develop eyes of the Spirit, the ability to see. In 1 Corinthians 2, verse 10, it says, "We are told that God has revealed them to us through the Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God." When we have eyes of the Spirit, our capacity to perceive spiritual things is matured. I'm going to say that again. When we have eyes of the Spirit, our capacity to perceive spiritual thing is matured. In other words, you get better and better and better at it. You become more and more aware of what's happening in the spirit realm. We can see hidden things of God by faith, and we can see the miracles of God that God has done, is doing, and things even that he will do. You become more prophetic, because I'm just telling you right now, if you wake up each morning and go to bed each night and say, "Lord, I want the spirit of wisdom and revelation flowing in my life," he will give it. We are on the front edge of birthing a bunch of things as a church, not just us, the other churches in the area, in this region. It's going to affect the seven city regions. But he always tells people, his prophets, what he's about to do. And so if we just step into by faith, "I'm not a prophet." The scripture says everybody can hear, everybody can prophesy. So if you want to be a friend of God, step out in faith. Go, "I want to be a friend of yours. And by the way, I need the spirit of wisdom and revelation flowing in my life. Would you open those doors to me? Show me." I know there's people sitting in here I've come up to recently and said, "You're about to see stuff that you've never seen before." And they are. It's not what they thought it was going to be. It's stuff in here, and God's dealing with them, and other things. If we had, and this happened, I'm just going to tell you this story real quick, because this is how we all are. I would be in the wrong line. There was a church recently, the pastor did a sermon on the gifts and the fruit of the Spirit, and he felt led to have people who wanted to receive more of the gifts of God to line up on the right side, and people who wanted to walk in more of the fruit of the Spirit to line up on the left. He had like 300 people in his church. There was 3 people on this line, and the rest of them were in this one. Not surprising. Well, the fruit of the Spirit means what? I'm going to walk in faith and hope and love, and you know, or I can get the wow stuff over here. Well, I'm telling you, the wow stuff's available, but he's going to deal with this. Don't ask for the wow stuff if you don't want him to deal with this. I know from experience. The eyes of the Spirit cause us to look away from anything and everything else in order to see the supernatural. Has God been telling you to stop watching certain things or looking at certain things lately? Not because he's some spoilsport in heaven who wants to take away your freedom. It's because he wants to show you great and mighty things that you do not know. A pastor's son was telling his daddy about the angels he was seeing at church. And the dad had never seen them before. So he started praying and asking God why he's not seeing stuff that he wants his kids seeing. And one day his son came to give him the answer. God had told the little boy to tell daddy that you can't see the things of God and the things in the supernatural realm because of the things that you've watched with your eyes, and it's put scales on your eyes. He's got like a 4-year-old son telling him this. But the good news, the little boy says, if you'll stop watching that stuff, the scales will fall off, then God will show you too, Daddy. A little prophet in the making, huh? So their second issue is things beyond our seeing. By the Spirit, we begin to see with supernatural eyes what the natural eye hasn't seen. And we begin to see with new vision. We begin to see a new part of the vision. And we actually are able to see little things like that you've never seen before, even though you know it, you don't know it, but then you know it. Do you know what I'm talking about? Like, you get revelation, you understand it at some level, and then the events start playing out, and you go, oh, that was what, oh, it wasn't just that, it's this too. And then you go a little further, and you go, oh my goodness, this is significant. That should be happening more and more with you. That should be happening more and more with you. Third thing is things beyond our hearing. Our natural ears have you not yet heard, but we have a new set of ears, and we can teach them and train them to dial into a different frequency or a new frequency. I know, just from experience, I was at a conference in Albany, Oregon, at Danny Klein's church. Bob Jones was one of the speakers. And this is when I was doing all this stuff. And I had been invited by Danny and those guys to come down there. And so Paul Keith Davis, Bob Jones, Bobby Connor, me, I'm up in front with all these people, and we're prophesying to people. Seriously, this is hilarious. Actually, Bob Jones is next to me, and people were coming up, and I was prophesying to them, and they had an intercessor from the Albany church assigned to me to make sure I wasn't some kook, because they didn't know me that well. They just knew I pastored this church here, and Bob Jones had been here, and they said, come down. And so I don't know how long, hour and a half, hour and 45 minutes, we're prophesying. The lines are deep. And at one point, I looked over, and Bob Jones was gone. He went to lunch. And I looked over, Paul Keith followed him. Bobby Connor followed him. Pretty soon, it was just me and another guy up there, and there's still 30-something people on our lines. They come back for lunch just as we're finishing. And this lady came in my line, and I prophesied to her, and she knew the lady that was standing next to me, the intercessor, and she goes, when it got done, she goes, who was that guy? You know, and I'm like, this never happens in my church. This is hilarious. And then the Lord showed me I was functioning under these other prophets' anointing. And I was able to see things I could never see before, hear things I'd never heard before. It went deeper, 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 deeper. Go back to the verse. Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has what? Prepared for those who what? Love him. There's so much more if you're hungry for it. Fourth thing, the things our hearts have never received before. When God starts to open your eyes and your ears of the Spirit, and he starts dealing with your heart, new passions are going to be birthed in you. New passions for the kingdom. Dreams are going to come forth that will help define where you're supposed to be going and what it's supposed to look like. The season of waiting on the Lord and the season of being refined, you'll see that it's coming to an end and there's a new thing he's birthing in you. And there'll be new motivations awakening inside of you. Instead of the old motivations, I should go to church or I might get like, you know, an ink spot on the ground and God will be done with me. Whole different motivation. I got to get to church because I got to get fed stuff that I can't teach myself, but I also get a chance to minister to people, and I also get the chance to sow in prayer to see God do things that need to be done, and I'm going to be encouraged. I'm going to be encouraged by people. I'm coming in full of faith, ready for this move of God that we're flowing in is about to go bigger and better all the time. Okay, or not. I miss the African Americans who used to come and say amen. When they first came, I'd never been in an African American church, and I didn't know that they talked back to the pastor. And this is pretty funny. And one of the gals goes, she's sitting toward the front, and she goes, I just started. And I'm not a preacher, I'm more like a teacher, you know, but so I was just getting started, and she goes, uh-oh, like that. And I thought, was my fly down? Or I didn't know. did I, you know, or maybe I just, Pam didn't screen my clothing choices for the day and I got out of the house looking worse than normal. You know. I don't know, it has nothing to do with the sermon, but it was a funny thought that came. Here's another spiritual promise that we have, and we need to hold on to it in this season. This is out of Luke 7, verse 16. It says, they all realized, who? My whole desire and God's is that we get so roped into this prayer and fasting thing and this, and in faith and in believing for miracles that we're all functioning and flowing in them. It says, they all realized they were in a place of holy mystery and that God was among them. And they were quietly worshipful and then noisily grateful, calling out among themselves, God is back, looking to the needs of his people. Can you believe it? That's what that verse says in the message. I kind of like that. Yeah, I kind of like that one. So it says, they all realized they were in a place of holy mystery and that God was among them. That's us. There's angels and heavenly beings in here. The presence of the Holy Spirit is in here powerfully. And it says, they were quietly worshipful and then noisily grateful, calling out among themselves, God is back, looking to the needs of his people. This is amazing. It's kind of funny, isn't it? They might have been those people who were earlier saying, where was God when this happened to me? How am I supposed to have faith to believe for miracles? I've been there, done that. I had huge needs, and he didn't answer them. Well, at least the way I hoped he would. Sometimes we get a little offended at God when he doesn't do what we want and something costs us big, doesn't he? Right? And sometimes when that happens, we allow sickness and other things into our lives. And because bitterness kills. Offense kills. Can you hear the Holy Spirit speaking these words into your heart right now? He's back and he's looking to the needs of his people. Maybe some of you feel like Gideon. You aren't ready to believe for a new visitation of God quite yet. Maybe you feel like Gideon. Gideon said to the Lord, oh my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us? And where are all of his miracles which our fathers told us about, saying, did not the hand of the Lord bring us up out of Egypt? But now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hand of the Midianites. Gideon's attitude is the flavor of the day in America. I'm just telling you. That's not a faith-filled statement or prayer, is it? It reveals a man whose heart is fearful, scared, ashamed, full of unbelief. And yet, did God use Gideon? That's one of the funniest stories in Scripture to me. There are a lot of, did you know there's about 330,000 churches in America? Read about that this week. That's a lot, isn't it? Maybe there'd be 500 or a million, 500,000 or a million. Maybe there might be so much that we've got to have a whole bunch more churches. But a lot of those churches haven't seen a prodigal turn in 5-10 years. A lot of those churches haven't had any salvations. And nobody's asking why. I totally believe we're a remnant. I think we're a remnant people. We've been graced to be awake in this season. We've been praying back in people who, for whatever reason, stopped going to church or whatever, and I'm believing for more. And we're going to get to the place where we're not like Gideon. We're just saying, he did it then, and he's doing it now, and there's more to come. We're believing for it. We're going to pull on heaven and get it here. Miracles aren't for the third world nations only or famous ministers. They're for America, and they belong in America as much as they belong in Argentina or Brazil or India or Philippines. We have an opportunity to bend our knees and cry out for a God visitation in the seven city region. That's what we're being called to. This is what the waiting of the Lord and waiting on the Lord has called us to come to. We're convinced of it. Miracles are just beyond you. Look expectantly for God's suddenlies and his plan to have your need collide with his miracle for your life and for the lives of people around you. So would you stand with me? Did you see him yet? Okay, just checking. Still batting 100 on that one, or 1,000 or whatever it is. How many of you know the scripture says that you can ask God to stir you up? How many of you know the scripture says to stir yourself up? How many of you think we need to have both? Yeah. How many of you think it might take a good beating? My prayer is that you won't have God's discipline have to go there with you, that you'll just choose to receive what he's about to give you, and that you'll choose to stir yourself up by simply disciplining yourself this month. We're going to start on a 21-day prayer and fasting spiritual journey next Sunday, and it's going to go to the 1st of February. That's 21 days. But we get to get prepared for this. And I already know, because I was in the room when it happened, that the spirit of wisdom and revelation has been released to our church. And so if you want that impartation, put your hands out however you would to receive something from God. I have not only the authority to release this into you, I have a calling to do that. This is part of my gift mix. So, Lord, you know the hearts of your people. Some have great faith, some have a little bit of faith, some have teeny, teeny, tiny faith, some have faith that's kind of a little beat up. But they're asking humbly, and I know this, your word says when your people ask, you're happy to give because you're a good father. So we just, Lord, release the spirit of wisdom and revelation to the church this morning. Come, Holy Spirit, fill your vessels. We want to be your friends, your intimates, who get in on what you're doing and what you're about to do. Just receive that by faith in Jesus' name. Those of you who are able to receive, keep receiving. This is going to be kind of a slow, like a drip, you know, like receiving an IV. But I got to help some of you. If you're wrestling, can I really have this based on who I am? Let's take that thought captive and come into the obedience of Christ. We're just going to say, that's a lie. If you need to say it out loud, that's a lie. That's fine. Say it out loud. That's a lie. And I get to play too. God loves to give good gifts to his kids. So I'm going to receive it in Jesus' name by faith now. Thank you, God, for this impartation. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the help from heaven to help us receive, creating a safe place here, a safe environment. This is your kingdom palace. We just receive all that you have for us, Lord. Thank you. There's more weight on this. And that's a funny little, that's got more meaning to it than one meaning. Let's put it that way. As you wait on him, there's going to be more and more given to you. And you're going to receive wisdom and revelation and insight from Him. Thank you, Lord. Some of you need to slip on the shoes of salvation and act like you're saved now. Some of you need the belt of truth, put it on. The shield of faith. Some of you need to take that up again. Some of you need to get the sword. Get your sword out. We're putting on the full armor of God, the helmet of salvation, and you're walking in the peace of God because of that salvation. Just keep receiving. You can pull on heaven. Ask the Lord to send more of His Spirit. Release more gifts, more impartation. We're going from faith to faith, glory to glory, strength to strength, because we're getting prepared for war. We're not a little dabble do you church. Thank you, Lord. Bless your holy name. Just begin to praise Him. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Glorify yourself in us and through us, O God. We want to be your people. We want to please you, Lord. We want to be like you, Jesus. Help us to get to know you and become like you. And then, Lord, help us to take as many with us as we can. Lord, thank you that we're armed and dangerous. Lord, thank you that we have a calling, a high calling in you, that we've not only barely scratched the surface of the gifting, anointing, and destinies of our lives, but we have breakthrough after breakthrough after breakthrough, that we're not only called to walk in, but we're called to come forth in Jesus' name. So, Lord, we stand in your presence this morning, and we say, hallelujah, praise your name. Be glorified in us and through us. Lord, be glorified in us and through us. Lord, be glorified in us and through us. We are your children. We are the King of Glory's children. We are not running around looking for crumbs on the floor. We're looking for the banqueting table. Thank you, Father, for the banqueting table in our midst. Lord, thank you for your mercies and your grace that endure. Thank you for all of us being able to wake up each morning fulfilled in you, content in you, yet able to cry out for more, knowing that we have a God that has an endless supply that is able to meet all of our needs. So, Lord, we say thank you, yes, and amen. Thank you, Lord. Lord, let revival start here now among us. Lord, we cry out, let it come. Let it come. Let it come, Lord.